You are listening to the Quad City's most over podcast, Cards Subject to Change. Still a part of the Four Frequency Sake Podcast Network, rumors about our sale to North Korea have been greatly exaggerated. On this week's episode, we start our journey through the year 2003. Our first stop is the Royal Rumble. Our newly crowned six-man podcast champions take a deep dive into the event. Now let's take you to our hosts, the Podcast Trio's champions, Stripes, the Honorable One, and the Wizard, CZ.
Welcome to the most must-see podcast on the Four Frequency Sig Network, Card Subject to Change. When our mics go hot, your mouths go shut. Nick, Stripes, how you doing this evening?
Hey, I'm doing great. I can't speak for Stripes. I know that the Bucks and Omega were crowned Trios champions the other night, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I'm going to crown us the Podcast Trios champions. How's everybody doing?
I am doing wonderful.
I feel pretty good. I'm ready to raring to go. It's been an interesting day for me, but down in sunny Florida, Fort Myers, got to see the Gulf of Mexico today. That was a good experience. And I just want to say, Stripes, you have nothing to worry about. Zebras are not on the endangered species list.
That's what I hear. I hear they are good. They're good to go.
They are definitely good to go. So, gentlemen, before we get into Rumble 2003, a lot on the table to cover this week. Oh my!
Slow news week. Slow news week.
Very.
Went to bed, what was it, Wednesday or Thursday, woke up, and it's like, holy hell, what is going on? WWE, rumored sale to Saudi Arabia's, to Saudi Arabia, holy crap. That blew up all over the place.
Yeah, everybody had it reported with the exception of Chicken Little. The sky was falling when I woke up. I went to bed, everything was great, and I woke up like, what the heck is going on? Thankfully, the rumored sale to an outfit out of Saudi Arabia was entirely false, and the sale talks continue. Before the Saudi Arabia false sale took place, Stephanie McMahon Helmsley resigned from her role as co-executive chair.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of startling with Daddy back. I don't know if that's amicable or if Stephanie knows this probably isn't going to work with her working alongside her dad. I don't know.
Very hard to say.
I was sitting there that night, and I was texting you guys, you know, while that was going on, pretty much while it was breaking, and I literally couldn't believe what I was looking at. And I was messaging you guys, and I put on the Facebook Twitter page that, you know, it had been reported, and I thought it was a done deal. I literally was in shock.
I think the world thought for a while there it was a done deal, to be honest with you.
I think so, too. I think the world was also hoping that it wasn't true because, you know, talks immediately start hitting the public about what wrestlers are going to stay and what are immediately going to leave. And the first name that comes to mind is obviously Sami Zayn. With his religious views, those that, you know, kind of go directly against what people in Saudi Arabia stand for. So thankfully, that's off the table right now. Disney's still looming in the shadows, lingering, if you will. But I'm telling you what, I think I'd rather have my wrestlers with Mickey Mouse ears than, you know, with blood money on their hands. But I don't think a sale to Disney would be the worst thing. It'd be better than the Saudi Arabia outfit for obvious reasons. But I had also seen a report as of yesterday, Comcast was very interested in acquiring WWE.
Comcast?
Yes.
I've seen Netflix. The biggest one that bugs me, not as much as Saudi, but Tony Khan and family are looking to buy. And
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's possible it'd be a merger, but I couldn't even – I mean, never say never in wrestling, but it's a possibility, right?
So I was picking up my.
Look at 2001. WCW was going into the shitter, and Vince came in and bought the company out. We could see another scenario like that. I hope not. I'd rather have the competition and the different wrestling organizations and styles, but anything can happen.
So I was picking up my son from work the other night, and we were actually talking about this same situation. Wouldn't it be kind of funny? We were kind of fantasy booking. Wouldn't it be actually kind of ironic and kind of funny if Nick Khan actually did, or not, excuse me, not Nick Khan, but Tony Khan actually did purchase WWE? Couldn't you just see it now? Vince is on there, and he's doing his whole gimmick, and all of a sudden Tony Khan shows up on the board. The name on the bottom was Khan, Vince, but it was Tony Khan.
Yeah, the Shane McMahon callback from Nitro. I remember that.
I mean, wouldn't it just be? It would be different. To make one big conglomerate with AEW and WWE. I don't see him completely shutting down WWE if that were to happen. I think there would be the two companies, but you would definitely see a lot more different sharing of talents and co-branding, I would say.
I can agree with that.
Man, I think the waters would get really mucked up at that point, because I don't think either company is in the shape that WCW was back in 2001.
No, I agree.
And, man, you talk about two opposite products. And if they formed, I don't think the businesses would have a problem. I don't think the two companies have a problem. I think the wrestling fans would be out of their minds.
And I agree.
Wouldn't know how to comprehend or whose side to be on, right?
Yeah.
I'm just as guilty as the next wrestling fan. Whenever something happens, oh, whose side am I on? I got to pick a side. That would probably be the ultimate side picking there, is if they combine. I mean, it'd be crazy. You know, who would book? Because in WWE, they have a booker. In AEW, they don't have a booker. So,
and
what way we're at, you know, it would be interesting. Yeah. I hope we don't see that.
I also agree. And of course, DJ popped on to listen to us while we're broadcasting live on Facebook, Twitch, and Twitter. Says that would bring AEW's title count to a total of 1,074.
They would have more belts. Yep.
Here's my thing. Competition only makes each company stronger.
I agree.
If you have that all under one roof, you're not going to have that competition.
You're going to have a watered down, homogenized product. You're only going to get crumbs as opposed to full plates like we get now on a weekly or monthly basis. You're right.
I agree.
It would be extremely watered down. And I think it probably could be maybe the indie wrestling scene would have another revolution and pop off. But man, to me, if they combined, it would drive away a lot of fans.
And here's the thing. You talk about picking sides. Which brand do you like better, WWE, AEW? I hate that. I'm not going to mention any names of our podcast brethren, Joe the Show Winkle, but he is very AEW-centric. I understand. There's a difference between the products. But my personal stance is I just want to enjoy wrestling. I don't want to go and argue with somebody about which company is doing a better job. I just want to watch the show, escape reality for a bit, and enjoy what I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Is that too much to ask anymore these days? Can't a guy just sit down and watch wrestling?
Yeah.
Right? No. I get what you're saying. And I hope this is tabled. I hope that this, you know, I hope that the Khan name is just being floated out there because they're in wrestling and they have money. But man, this thing is fluent. Please stay tuned. Card Subject to Change podcast for any updates or further thoughts here. This thing, I think, is far from over. This sale, fellas, it's WrestleMania season. So they could drag this thing out for the next few months leading up and maybe announce a sale at WrestleMania. You know, don't put anything by Vince.
Right.
No, exactly.
Another thing that caught my wrestling radar this week was listening to the Dax Harwood podcast, FTR with Dax Harwood. And Dax made an announcement on there. And Tony Khan was known to it, too, that he and Cash have requested to be off TV the rest of their contract, which expires in April, to heal up and figure out what they want to do, whether they're going to re-sign with AEW or explore other options.
So, not to interrupt you, Nick, but I think with that, I think there's something else behind that. And the thing that's behind that is CM Punk. I really think that somehow, some way, there's going to be talks and there's going to be CM Punk coming back with FTR, and they're going to go for that Trios title.
I hope you're right. I'm telling you, if they, meaning the, you know, the AEW powers to be, they can let bygones be bygones and bring Punk back, they can start printing money again. I mean, they're going to get their numbers would go back up. You wouldn't have to have Punk involved with the title picture.
Right.
The heavyweight title picture.
I think that AEW can let bygones be bygones. But here's my question. Can the Young Bucks and the Elite let bygones be bygones? You know what I'm saying? They have a lot of ego. They have a lot of quote-unquote power behind them. So that's the real question, if they can let.
I don't know if they can let go of it, to be honest with you. I guess we'll see if the professionals can be professional and work this out. But I like where you're going there. But announcement was made. If that's a red herring for what you suggested with him coming back as Punk, then so be it. But they are going to heal up. I know Dax got like a broken tailbone right now.
Yep.
Cash banged up as well. So they're going to take January, February, March to heal up. Do they re-sign? Do they take a year off? Or do we see them in LA at Mania?
Yeah, could we see a revival of the revival is my question.
Say yeah! Yeah!
And,
I don't know. I'm very interested in it. And obviously, I'm a big fan of those guys, but they stay in AEW. It shapes the tag team division and picture in AEW's favor. And I think if they go to WWE, you know, what a signing, what a coup for them. But we shall see. Will be interesting to see though who the tag teams are that they're pushing in that place. You know, you got the Bucks as the Trios now, and FTR is gone. I know you got the Acclaim, you got the Guns.
Mm-hmm.
Top Flight, maybe a few others, but now it's time for the younger teams to step up and fill the void.
Their tag team division is super strong over in AEW.
Yeah.
But without FTR, it can still thrive, but they are definitely going to be missing a pivotal tag team in that division. But like I said, they will definitely thrive without FTR, and they have a strong, strong tag team division.
DZ, your take.
I agree with all that. Would I love to see our two number one choices for the Mount Rushmore Tag Team Wrestling face each other again in their current forms by having having FTR come back into WWE? Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
But I think Stripes brings up a good point. Could this be just smoke and mirrors to bring back CM Punk in some capacity?
What did
the
you
real
say?
Question. Whoa! It's only smoke and mirror.
Okay.
The real question, though, you hit the nail on the head there, Mr. Angle, is will the Bucks forgive and forget?
That's going to be hard. Can. Nope.
One more wrestling-related note here before we jump into the time machine and boogie back to 2003. The return of Adam Cole, baby, on Dynamite. That was good to see. Good to see him back as he made his announcement that he is cleared and back and ready for action.
Excellent. So how long before we get the forbidden door between Adam Cole, Bay Bay, and Austin Theory, Beyblade?
Maybe Royal Rumble.
Give a throwback there.
Yeah, yeah, Beyblade versus Bay Bay.
Austin Theory brought to you tonight by Beyblades. That was silly.
That was very silly. So speaking of returns, we also did have another return with Impact Wrestling. We had Santino Marella. He's the new director of authority, the interim director of authority, I believe, replacing Scott D'Amore after Bully Ray attacked him. Heinously attacked him.
Yeah, good to see Santino coming back into the wrestling business. Haven't seen him in a long time.
And I don't know if you guys caught it, but Santino, they said Impact had a huge celebration. They had a huge celebration ready for Moose. They were going to have elephants. They were going to have the Falcons. But it's okay. The Falcons have eight, so they wouldn't, you know, get any of the audience. They had confetti cannons, but no, he hit him in the scrotissimus region, as Santino called it.
The scrotissimus region. I love it.
Yeah, and Santino saw it, so he put a kibosh to the whole thing.
Of course he did.
Yes.
So we're talking about returns. It is the season of returns. And we'll be talking about this year's Royal Rumble and any returns that may crop up in just a couple of weeks. But Nick, hop us in the time machine. Let's travel back to 2003.
Enough of this talk about tag teams and returns. It's every man for themselves.
The Royal Rumble. Royal Rumble 2003, taking place in Boston, Massachusetts. In attendance, there are 15,338 fans. Gentlemen, I want to start by saying that I absolutely cannot stand the entrance and the set for this Royal Rumble.
It looked like it was raining all night. I was like, are they in an outside dome or what?
Yeah, it looked like they were raining, and then if you noticed, the aisle wasn't straight. It was a weird angle. No.
Yeah. Yep.
Always known for their production value, always has a good setup, especially in this era. But this was, they fucking phoned it. I just dropped an F-bomb.
Oh,
jeebity Christmas.
Hey, I apologize.
That issue with the hotel's over.
CZ is fired up.
I'm gonna calm down. I'm going to call it down.
Parental advisory.
They phoned it in. They phoned it in with this one. They took... I'm sorry.
No, you're good. It's okay.
You're good.
DJ's going to fire me. The tribal chief, if he's still listening, he's gonna come on. He's going to be like, you're fired. And then we go back to a tag team with you two. But no, they phoned it in. They took the entrance bubble of SmackDown and the Titantron of Raw. They stacked them on top of each other.
Yep.
And they set them off to the side.
And they put
this
some
is
rain.
Garbage.
It's hot garbage.
Yeah. I mean, come on, guys. You are the number one wrestler. You're the only players in the game right now. Step it up, boys. You guys can get your wallet out, Vince, and put some money towards a set that is worth entertaining us.
This Rumble was interesting because it is the first Rumble after the brand split was introduced. The brand split was introduced March of 2002. So whoever won the Rumble would get a shot at their respective brand's title.
Yep.
And we're sponsored by PlayStation 2. Holy crap, boys. PlayStation 2.
That dates all of us, I think, quite a bit.
And our theme song tonight was by Trust Company. That's right. I was trying to think of it. I was like, Trust Company. It was called Falling Apart. Falling Apart. Yes.
Oi. We're getting into the weeds already, boys, and we haven't even gotten to the match.
We haven't even hit the rumble and whatever speed bumps that's going to cause along the way.
That's going to be a lot of speed bumps.
A very young Michael Cole welcomes us. And here we are to kick off the rumble in match one. It's kind of an important match with a stipulation. It's Brock Lesnar versus the Big Show. The winner gets in the rumble. The loser gets an early shower and back to the hotel early.
You got two big like guys here, Nick.
What we got
to get a shower. Those are some stinky boys.
So this is the first time since Heyman screwed Lesnar out of the title that he and Big Show have faced off. That happened back at Survivor Series of 2002. Paul Heyman turned on Brock Lesnar, costing him the world. Was it the World Heavyweight? No, it's the WWE Championship. World Heavyweight is on Raw.
Yep.
Lesnar, man, just showing early on his power with so many belly-to-belly suplexes on the Big Show. Big Show at this point is just about 500 pounds, and Brock Lesnar is tossing him around like he's nothing.
And can I say Brock Lesnar, a young Brock Lesnar, he's looking pretty chiseled at this point in his career.
Yeah.
A young Lesnar, like you said, throwing around Show. I couldn't get past Show's Fu Manchu, so who's growing one? Which one of you two is growing one in 2023? I got a beard full time. I guess I could make it a Fu Manchu, but I think, you know, we got to get a Fu Manchu going on this show.
No, I'm out. I can't do it.
I don't want to hear can't.
If you had seen me with a goatee about 15 years ago, you would understand. It makes my face look like it's 10 times bigger than it is with a little goatee. A Fu Manchu would do even worse than that. I got to have the full beard.
I might have to try one out this spring. Who knows? But you're right. You got a young Lesnar throwing around a Big Show. Let's don't forget about Lesnar's size 16 boot and a 5E. I mean, come on. I mean, comparing on the Big Show and the boots and everything, it gets a little old. But thankfully, this match is only about 6 minutes. Lesnar hits him with an F5, and it's 1-2-3, and it's like this was kind of refreshing. It was one finishing move. It wasn't 85 freaking finishers and false finishes.
No. Yeah,
finishers still mattered in 2003.
They did matter. And if Big E was around with us three hanging out, he would have loved this match. Because you know why? It's big, meaty men slapping meat.
Slapping meat?
That's right.
Slapping meat. Yes.
He loves the big, meaty men. I don't know.
So we have Lesnar winning that match and punching his ticket to the Rumble later on. We go backstage where Terry and Jericho are having a discussion. Jericho's pissed off that he's got number two. He wanted to be number one, but HBK has that. So a little tease to the first two entrants of the Rumble, and we are back into action here. It's tag team action. It is the champions, Lance Storm and William Regal, taking on the Dudley Boys. And like I said, this is for the WWF World Tag Team Championships. It's 2003, fellas, and they're still talking about brass knuckles.
Because you have William Regal in here. That is why.
Absolutely you do. Exactly. Absolutely. Absolutely you do. And I'm telling you what, it's 2003, which means Howard Finkel is still with us. So good to see Finkel on the call here.
Yeah.
Nick Patrick is the referee of this match.
Yep.
I find it funny, enjoyable that Nick Patrick, the most crooked referee in wrestling, is checking over Lance Storm and William Regal, blatantly looking for the brass knucks.
I want Stripes versus Nick Patrick.
Yes!
I'm down for it. I'm down for it. Nick Patrick,
if we can put it. We can put it on the 0 hour of Epic, and I'll referee it.
There we go. Let's do it.
Let's see what we can do.
Bring it on! So
I'm for it. I'm totally for it.
First thing I noticed in this match, coming out of this here, and DJ would rather have Charles Robinson as the guest referee of Nick Patrick and Stripes, and he wants to do commentary with me, but that's neither here nor there. We're going back into the Rumble match. First thing I noticed, you know, Devon and Bubba Ray, they always have matching attire. Tonight they don't. It's very off-putting to me.
Yeah, you got to have matching camouflage with the Dudley boys. I mean, they're not the Dudleys without the matching camo.
No, they're not. And I believe
What if one of them accidentally crapped their pants before the show?
Ooh. No.
Yeah, maybe.
I agree. I'm a stickler too for matching tag team attire. I'm also a stickler. I love this tag title. This is what the tag title needs to go back to. This is one of my all-time favorite belts, is the old school WWF tag team titles. Need to go back to this.
Okay.
Bubba Ray and Lance Storm started out. We get Lance Storm in trunks here. Usually he's got the tights on, but he's got the trunks here. Kind of a weird look for him. They have a good exchange early on. I really liked watching Lance Storm and Bubba Ray go after it. But before too long, Devon and Regal get their turn. And that's when stuff starts going awry, right, CZ?
Oh, for sure.
I took a swig there. Devon... Bubba Ray goes to town and takes care of the champs after a hot tag from Diva. Bubba slam for a near fall. Devon back in. Regal gets a cup check and then a flapjack near fall. Sean Morley comes to ringside. Who remembers?
Oh, hello, ladies.
Sean Morley comes to ringside. He destroys the ref, and then Regal pulls out the Nux. But as he pulls out the Nux, he gets 3D. Devon, Nux Storm. We get a 1, 2, 3, and no! The Dudleys are 16-time your world champions.
Most decorated tag team in wrestling history.
Yep.
Is this when they won the 16th time?
This is their 16th time.
Yep, okay.
15-time champs coming in. They won their 16th, taking the titles off Storm and Regal. But in doing a little homework for next month, No Way Out 2003, I can tell you the Dudleys don't have the tag team titles going into that pay-per-view.
If I'm remembering my history correct, they lose it the next night on Raw back to Regal and Lance Storm.
Yeah, I believe so. I believe they do. As soon as this match is over, I know you guys probably have this circled and dotted in your notes. A vignette for Nathan Jones. Who's pumped for this guy, huh?
Nick, what's your favorite Nathan Jones match?
Well, he was on WrestleMania 19, so I got to go with that one. Wasn't it him and Cho against Taker?
Oh, my.
Nathan Jones is the modern day Nails. Hey, can I just put that out there?
That's fine.
I mean,
CZ, you don't like Nathan Jones?
I never said I didn't like him. I just wanted to know what your favorite match was.
Probably WrestleMania 19. Probably the match you're going to review, WrestleMania 19. Big Show and Nathan Jones against Undertaker.
Hey, put it on my list. I'll
Well, I'm going to tell you this. You guys probably rolled your eyes when you saw this next match, but I'm going to be honest with you. Outside of the Rumble match, it was the most fun I had reviewing a match.
Oh, my. Oh, no. And, no.
Oh, yeah. This is Corey Wilson versus Dawn Marie Wilson.
Yes.
The first time we've ever had a stepdaughter versus stepmother match in the WWF.
I'm I cringed when I watch it. I cringe when you hear you say it. Oh my.
Hey,
this has shades of Judy on a Bagwell. Judy Bagwell on a pole match.
Judy on a Bagwell. That's what this
is. Judy on a Bagwell. Judy on a Bagwell. On a Bagwell. On a pole.
Okay. Oh man. Ooh, ooh. I don't know about that image. I don't know. I the first thing I had here is Al Wilson being used?
No.
I would say not. I would say Al Wilson probably getting the better end of that deal, but I digress. Remember the good old days when people died in angles? Huh? It wasn't that long ago. This is only 20 years ago.
This was only 20 years ago.
Where we have Al Wilson dying. I mean, don't you remember when people died in angles?
Well, Nick, you say the good old days. Sidebar: didn't Eric Young just die in Impact not too long ago?
He was murdered. He was murdered.
He was murdered. And didn't Al Wilson get married in his underwear?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
I do remember that. Oh my
Dude,
gosh.
When they show the shower scene with them, man, that is just so awkward. Maybe better than the match was the vignette leading up to it, showing us the funeral and the visitation. That lamp shot at the casket, that was the deal breaker for me. I was laughing too hard at that point.
Poor Al Wilson.
I know. And on top of that, you got this hot angle going on, and Don Marie Wilson walks out to crickets. A recent widow married less than 2 weeks ago. Tori is coming out to let everybody know that she's the power of attorney and is looking to get a piece of Don Wilson's ass, if you know what I mean.
Whoa.
I'll let you dissect that one, fella. Don jumps in emotional Tori. Tori then goes to flip the switch, starts fighting for her deceased father. Don Marie with an arm bar near fall. Dawn's getting the upper hand, as you expect she would. She's the evil stepmother. Both women collide, and it looks horrible. That's all I could put with it. Tori with a near fall and arm drag. Dawn Marie with her second, her legs on the second rope. This is bad. Thank God this ends quickly and mercifully, just like the marriage of Dawn and Al Wilson.
With a swinging neck breaker.
Of course.
Might I add.
I'm a sucker for that move.
Jeez.
So this shit match gets a complete redemption for me with the swinging neck breaker. Michael Cole puts the ribbon on the present by saying she picked up the win. But she can't bring her father back.
Folks, you can't make this stuff up.
You can't. Folks, if you're tuning in live, I want to thank you. If you're listening to this after we've recorded, I still want to thank you. Royal Rumble 2003. Really good show. Fast forward past this crap show match. Or don't. If you enjoy a good storyline where Tori Wilson's dad marries an evil woman wrestler and they go at each other, then by all means.
And the sad thing is, in 2003, we couldn't fast forward this. We had to endure it. So I'm kind of glad for technology today that we can just fast forward this crap and get on with it.
Oh, yes. Oh, my. We're gonna cleanse our palate a little bit here. We're gonna toss to a quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back with more of the Royal Rumble 2003 on the Card Subject to Change podcast.
Be sure to join our podcast brethren, Joe the Show Winkle, every Sunday and Wednesday night for all the insight you can handle during the playoffs. Tune in to the Educated Ignorance podcast, part of the Four Frequencies Sake podcast network. You're listening to Card Subject to Change with the Wizard, CZ, the Honorable One, Nick Bull, and Chris Angle.
Welcome back to the show. Thank you for listening, tuning in, watching live if you are, wherever you can get us. We appreciate it. And just as TZ the Wizard mentioned cleansing your palate, I'm going to go ahead and muck up the waters once again. We go backstage, and Stephanie walks up on Eric Bischoff and a young Randy Orton. I mean, you want to see Randy Orton with hair, that's what he looked like. Bischoff teases us with an atomic bombshell. Stephanie wants to tell that Eazy-E, Bischoff, that blood is thicker than urine, and money is much thicker than blood. So that's your palate cleanser right there. And before we get to our next match, which is Scott Steiner versus Triple H for the heavyweight championship, we're going to talk about the vignette with Sean O'Hare.
Oh, can we?
Please.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know what's going on. I mean, he's talking about, so here's what I have written down. You are your only judge. That's the quote that I have from Sean O'Hare's vignette, talking about his outlook on God. And Nick, walk us through this.
I don't know, man. He had the body, he had the look, but for some reason to me, Sean O'Hare always looks like the kid in school that gave lice to everybody.
Yes. Thank you for finally saying it.
The hair is kind of like greasy and dry and flaky. I don't know. That's what I think about when I see Sean O'Hare. I know he's no longer with us. No. Was it O'Hare and Palumbo that were paired in the late WCW days? Or were they paired in WWF?
I think it was in the WCW. They were with he was with Chuck Palumbo, and he also was tag team champions with Mark Jindrak.
Okay. Yes. Okay. That helps out a little bit. But yeah, yes. A rare sighting of Sean O'Hare. We're going to turn it over here to the Wizard, as he had his eyes all over this one.
Before you go there,
weight championship, triple Paul with Ric Flair against Big Papa Pump Scott Steiner. CZ, you've been waiting for this moment.
You're right, and I've got about a 33 1/3% chance of getting through this. I had to. So this is part of Scott Steiner's very short and very unmemorable solo run following the fall of WCW. They waited 2 years to bring Scott Steiner in after WCW failed and was bought out by Vince McMahon.
And I can see why.
Well, here's the thing. He was over. This gimmick was over in WCW. WCW wasn't over, but Scott Steiner was as much as he could be in that failing product.
Hey, this music video explaining the storyline has me behind Steiner somehow. Why am I rooting for Steiner here?
Well, that's because the WWE brought him in as a face.
There you go.
His heel gimmick, and that's very top of the list of why his run failed. They brought him in as a baby face. They wanted us to fall in love with him and support him. But that gimmick, the Freakzilla, the Big Papa Pump, that is a heel gimmick, ladies and gentlemen. Vince McMahon, you are drunk. Please go home.
You know what I'm picturing right now?
What's that?
You know the Wolverine meme where they're holding the picture? That's you with a picture of Scott Steiner.
That's what he's doing down in Florida before he goes to bed.
Now we know how you're passing your time in Florida.
You're not wrong. You are not wrong. And God, I even have Steiner. The Wolverine mask that I put on while I'm pining.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
This meme will have to get recreated at some point in the future. But yeah, no, you're right.
So here's the thing. Part of Scott Steiner's appeal in WCW was his off-the-wall, off-the-cuff promos. Comes over to WWE, not only is he a face, but they're writing his promos for him. They are not unscripted.
They wouldn't let him do it.
No, it's just a watered-down version of what made him work in WCW.
Well, it worked for him in WCW, but it didn't work for the company. Yeah, when you got what I would call, I guess I'm going to be nice here and be politically correct, what I would call Scott Steiner, when you got a flight risk, you can't let them go out there ad lib. And I don't know if we know he's got the potential of ad lib, but that's not the ad lib we want.
Nope.
I can't wait. I'm going to give you guys a little teaser if you're listening. Down the road, we have an episode schedule where we're going to talk about nothing but promos. Yes. I'm not going to talk about it here, but I can't wait. That is on the top of my list. You all know what I'm talking about. We'll get there. But yeah, Scott Steiner, his off-the-wall promos, his loose cannon mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't to have that.
You can't.
And,
so,
you know, we'll get into the match a little bit here. First of all, I love that Earl Hebner is calling the match. He gets in both their faces, and he's not going to take any of their crap.
He doesn't take crap at all. No. He's Earl Hebner. Why does he have to? He's got some T-shirts in the back of his car he wants to sell you.
That's right.
So the build to this match was incredibly unmemorable. You see a lot of it in the promo piece that Nick mentioned earlier. You've got the arm wrestling, the posing contest, the push-up contest. Come on. Really? This is where we're going?
Oh, yeah.
Come on. You don't like a pose down? You don't like the pose downs and the pose off? I mean, I don't think they could do this today, because the fans would just crap all over it.
They but did, it though. 20. Look back to Bobby Lashley.
Oh, they did with Cody Rhodes. They did with Cody Rhodes and Anthony Agogo, that weigh-in crap. Yeah, yeah. Oh. Remember that?
Nobody wants this garbage on their TV.
No.
Now, not making excuses for Steiner, but doing my research, he does have a lingering foot issue, so he's not in top shape. And you can tell because within minutes of the start of the match, Steiner is blown up. He is not in good shape.
Safe to say cardio was not part of the training regimen for Steiner for this world title match.
No. The other thing about this, so you've got so many things going against Scott Steiner. He's a face. He's not allowed to cut loose on his promos. And on the other side of the coin, this is during Triple H's reign of terror, quote unquote reign of terror, where he's got the golden shovel that he passed on to John Cena, whether you believe that or not, where I don't know that Triple H actually wanted to work with Steiner. I don't think this was his idea.
I don't think it was either. I don't think he liked it at all.
So, you know, the famous folklore story, you know, Steiner said he would take a urine test when Triple H took one right beside him. So I don't think these two got along. And you're right. I don't think Triple H was in favor of this, but they had to do something with Steiner. And in the process, made Triple H look stronger, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Do we have another match after this one?
Yes, we do.
And that was it's not a handicap match. It's a tag team match, is it not? No. Oh, no, it's not.
No, it's a singles match.
It's the Kurt Angle. It's the WWE title match. That's right.
You are correct. And that was my match, actually.
I can't wait for this. I'm just going to say before we go into this here, Nick and I usually have the same philosophy. We'll take a few notes about the matches that we're not covering that's not on our particular list. Mm-hmm. I didn't take any notes for this. I just sat back and enjoyed the good wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched this match at least a good 3 or 4 times. And the one time I actually did take notes, that was the only time I didn't sit back and watch it, just because these two are just simply just in-ring technicians. It probably, I think it was the best match on the card to be honest. You have Team Angle accompanying Kurt Angle to the ring, a young Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas. Right before they could even get anything going, they were ejected by good old Michael Chioda. Now I've got notes on Michael Chioda later on down the line for this match, but we won't go there yet. This just Benoit and Kurt just do some amazing business in the match. Kurt's just at the top of his game. One thing I did notice about Michael Chioda, though, that he was doing some fast counts. I know you guys didn't take any notes, but Mike Chioda was doing fast counts in this match. I don't know if that's just his style or if it's just maybe the pace of the match.
Okay, let me ask you this. Maybe he was getting caught up in the moment. Has that happened to you, Stripe, as a referee, where you're caught up in the moment of the match, hearing the crowd, and maybe your count goes a little faster?
Yeah, I would say that has happened one or two times. I mean, I haven't seen Mike Chioda enough lately to comment on if that's just his pace. I know as a referee, I always tell, younger referees when they're starting that they need to try to keep their cadence the same every time, just for the simple fact is that those wrestlers, they're going to listen to it and they're going to know when to kick out. And if they want to get that false finish, they're going to kick out right at the last second, right before that third hand, that third pin hits the mat.
Yeah. When you brought that up about his cadence speeding up, I didn't know if that's something that maybe, happened to you. And, I knew we brought this guy on for something, Steezy.
Yeah.
In this match, they had some awesome, some beautiful looking German suplexes. Angle and Benoit did some dueling German suplexes back and forth. And Angle does this so gracefully. When he goes up to the top rope, he just climbs that rope like he does it with ease. And using no hands, just climbs up, grabs him, belly-to-belly suplex halfway across the ring. And it looks so graceful. Like, when he does it, he literally, I don't know what to call it. He's graceful. I mean, like a cat.
if Kurt Angle had 5 more healthy years, he's Mount Rushmore, and people can't even look at you and argue.
No, I agree.
He unbelievable talent athletically, and with the amateur wrestling background, the Olympic wrestling background, the Greco-Roman background, when you pair that with turning him into a superstar, one of my favorite guys to watch of all time, just because he was so good and played the dumb bad guy to a T. And
loved him as the dumb bad guy. He's definitely on my Mount Rushmore, most definitely. I mean, that's probably number one for me.
He, man, so good. And, I need to go watch his Impact stuff because I really didn't watch a lot of TNA or Impact when he was still wrestling. But, man, that guy.
I didn't either.
You're right. This was the best match on the card. The best storyline, though, was probably Dawn Marie and Tori.
Hands down. I did want to mention. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go.
No, I just want to say before we get off of this match here, Nick, I want to ask you, our title belt connoisseur, what do you think of this incarnation of the WWE Championship?
It's okay. It's probably outside of the current WWE title. It's probably my least favorite of the WWE title.
Okay.
No. Correction. I like it better than like the spinner, the spinner big belt that Cena had, and then like Edge won from him. So no. This isn't bad. But I don't like it as good as its predecessor.
That's fair.
So we're still in the Benoit angle match.
Yeah, and I believe Stripes, you had more to add. I kind of jumped on you there.
No, you're good. So the one thing, last thing I really want to talk about, last couple things here. Benoit at one point goes for a headbutt. No joke. Angle was literally in the opposite corner, and he delivered the headbutt 3/4 of the way across the ring. And when it went back in 2003, I thought that was it. I mean, obviously now looking back at it, it wasn't. So Angle applies the ankle lock for basically what seems like 5 minutes at the time. And there's some good reversals. There's different reversals that Benoit goes to, and Angle finally goes to the mat and locks it in, and basically Benoit is forced to tap.
Something you don't see very often out of Chris Benoit.
No, not at all. This match was just incredible. Talk about two in-ring technicians, Kurt Angle, the late Chris Benoit. Man, it just was a clinic. A clinic.
Maybe a match that was a determining factor to put the belt on Benoit, because you see the standing ovation he gets in a loss, and just a little bit over a year later, he is headlining WrestleMania, right? So this could have been, yeah. this definitely could have been a determining factor, whether if he could be a world title contender or not, and definitely held his own with Angle in this. This is a great match.
I mean, to me, it felt like this was Chris Benoit's swan song. You know, it looked like he was going out the door, but you know, I mean, it definitely wasn't, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, whatever you think of about him as a person, and what happened, that's tragic. We've talked about not talking about it multiple times. We're not going to cover that ever because it was such a tragic event. But say what you will about Chris Benoit, the person, when he is in that ring, he puts on a masterpiece of a match.
Yeah, I agree. Completely agree.
And I can't think of an opponent that he's had that he's had a bad match with off the top of my head. No.
Nope, so, I can't think of one.
Gentlemen, we've got one more match to cover. This is going to take a little bit of time because it is the Royal Rumble match. Before we get into that, we're going to take one more quick break and talk to or listen in about our friend Joe the Show Winkle over on the Educated Ignorance podcast.
Be sure to join our podcast brethren, Joe the Show Winkle, every Sunday and Wednesday night for all the insight you can handle during the playoffs. Tune in to the Educated Ignorance podcast, part of the Four Frequencies Sake podcast network. You're listening to Card Subject to Change with the Wizard CZ, the Honorable One Nick Bull, and Chris Angle.
Welcome back to Card Subject to Change. If you're tuning in live, we are part of the Four Frequencies Sake podcast network. Welcome back. Appreciate you coming in. We're going live right now on Facebook, Twitch, and Twitter, but you can catch us everywhere that you'll find your podcasts in about 24 hours, maybe even closer to 12. Give us a like, share, subscribe. We love having your feedback. We want to be interactive. So if you ever have anything to say, drop us a line. Gentlemen, it's time. It's time for the main event. It's time for the 2003 Royal Rumble. And Nick, I'm gonna let you give us a rundown about what we're going to be doing here before we get into it.
Yeah. I don't remember the graph. Was it every 90 seconds, every 2 minutes, a man came in, start off with two, And since there's 30 entrants and there's three of us, we each have 10 entrants. And when a new entrant comes into this match, we're going to sing their entrance music. just to keep you up to date with who's in the match. And then when there's an elimination, Stripes will let us know, you know, who was eliminated and by whom. So we've never done a Rumble before. So we're like, what can we do different? Well, let's sing the entrances. And so
I was lucky enough to draw number one. And, Sean, I think I'm cute. I know I'm sexy. It's Shawn Michaels who comes in number one to the Royal Rumble.
I'm just a sexy boy.
Sorry.
And drawing number two. You know I got to. Yeah. Break the wall down. It's Chris Jericho.
And Jericho is sneaking in the back door because coming out the entranceway is not Jericho, not the Ayatollah of rock and roll. It is his partner, Christian. This is the start to, or this is towards the beginning of the build to WrestleMania, because 19 was the big match between HBK and Jericho. Jericho slides in the back of the ring here.
Jericho slides into the back of the ring, and HBK sets the record for getting busted open the fastest in a Royal Rumble. HBK's face is a mess, and number three is not even in here yet. These two kind of go back and forth, set the tone. I think this was kind of the predecessor. Let's see how these guys can go kick off Royal Rumble. Let's see if these guys can hold their water in a Mania match. The seeds are planted here for the start of what is a beautiful match at 19.
Yes. Yes, they are. I love the build, the start of this build, because it started early on. I was watching some of 2002 towards the end of the year. There's a lot of back and forth between Michaels and Jericho building up to the Rumble, and then it continues on. The Rumble just accelerates things into WrestleMania.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's Christopher Nowinski. It's got to be something Harvard related. So I don't know, some kind of marching band theme. All I can think about is JR's song, the Boomer Sooner song. Okay. And that's the only thing I can think of right now. That's the only thing I can think of.
Nick, I think this is a good time to let the cat out of the bag for our listeners. We told Stripes about this minutes before we went on the air. This is just a little welcome to the Card Subject to Change podcast. He is being put on the spot, so don't hold it against him if he's getting any of these entrance themes wrong. But he is correct. Number three is Chris Nowinski. How long was Nowinski in the WWE?
Well, as an active member, I can't tell you, man, but they probably had him on payroll for a while to cover their butt on a lawsuit. I don't think he was in there long. Three years most.
So yeah, I couldn't tell you.
You know what? Go ahead and vamp for me, guys. I'm actually going to try to find that out for you.
So he decides to not come in the ring right away. Standing outside, letting Michaels and Jericho do their thing. Which, you know, like Nick said, Shawn Michaels has the record for the fastest person to be busted open in a Rumble match. And then 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Who's that popping out the sky? Are you high? It's Rey Mysterio.
That was a good one. That was good. That's an easy one. So real quick here, it says that that Christopher Nowinski was only in the WWE for 1 year when he was in Tough Enough.
Oh boy!
Yeah. So it says 2002 to 2003.
So a cup of coffee for Chris Nowinski.
This might be probably the last couple times we see him.
Do you want to give him a proper send off?
Yeah, I mean, Rey Mysterio sure did. Oh, my. So we're talking about, we're at entrant number four. Rey Mysterio comes in. He goes right after Jericho. He ends up eliminating Chris Nowinski rather quickly.
And 4 minutes and 37 seconds.
And then he gets tossed out himself by Mr. Jericho.
And it looks like Rey Mysterio was in there for 10 minutes, actually. It's a little coming in about 6 minutes after after Nowinski was eliminated.
So then we go on to number five in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You think you know me. You think you know me. You think you know me.
It's Edge! Edge comes in and he is on fire. He even goes after his former tag team partner, Rey Mysterio. Christian tries to form an alliance with Edge. Edge takes out his brother. Wait, oh my. Right? No?
Yes, brother.
Yeah, well, yeah. He's not. Yeah, but Christian's not in yet. I'm sorry.
No, Christian's not in yet. Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not but yet. Ed comes in, like I said, takes out in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Christian, at last, you are on your own. That's about the best I could do. I don't know.
Dude, that was perfect. I was jealous because I really wanted that one.
Yeah, that's one of my notes. It was here that he went right after Christian. Christian and Edge,
they don't like no more. I don't know. They don't like each other anymore.
That's brother against brother. That was entrant number 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
So I would have much rather this been a later version where I could have said, ooh,
bravo. Yes.
We're not to that Chavo Guerrero yet, but
no, sadly.
Chavo really does not make much of an impact on the match. He comes in and Edge sends him packing pretty much right away.
Chavo looks like he was in there for, it's a cup of coffee. He was in there for about, 7 minutes? That feels wrong.
Yeah, that feels wrong.
He was eliminated by Edge. Yeah, that does feel wrong. I don't know. I'm not sure where,
doesn't do much though. He goes, he's in there, but not really any highlights that I saw of Chavo being in the match. Let's face facts.
Yeah, I didn't have anything on my notes about Chavo doing anything crazy.
No, and next to enter the ring here in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Tajiri, the Japanese buzzsaw. Man, I know that's horrible. It's hard when I don't have words. Tajiri comes to the ring and he is handing out kicks to everyone. He takes out Christian, has an exchange with Chavo, gives a tarantula to Christian, then releases that. A springboard into Christian and Chavo, where then he is meets his fate, and he is then eliminated by the number two entrant, Chris Jericho. So Tajiri has a short but memorable stint in the Royal Rumble. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I don't know. I don't even remember his entrance music. Like this guy, Bill DeMond, comes out.
Oh, Bill DeMond. Hey, that's okay. I'll give you a pass. You mean Fat Colt Cabana?
You know what? Yeah.
This is no laughing matter here. Come on, guys.
No. It's not humorous. Humorous. I'm sorry. Humorous.
Humorous. Humorous.
I think you mean Hugh G. Rection.
Rection.
Oh, jeez. The only thing I thought of when actually Bill DeMond came out, it was Bill Ding, one of I don't know if you guys know, but one of Disco Inferno's crazy creations back in WCW. He tried to pass this guy off. His name was Bill Ding. Yeah, we won't even go there.
Oh my!
Bill, that's the only thing I like. Bill. Well, there was the wall. There was the wall. Yeah, I mean, come on. We need
it. Could have worked. It could have worked.
That's for another date and time. Crappy WCW gimmicks.
You are
Bill
correct.
Bill DeMond comes in, and I don't know if he does anything other than look like a fat Colt Cabana.
The one thing I did mark down here, I said WTF. He's wearing a purple bandana that's completely not even matching his gear whatsoever. And they did mention on commentary that it's his Royal Rumble debut for Bill DeMond. So that's
first,
that's
last, and only.
Probably first, only, last, yeah. And only. Hopefully,
I hope
it's
so.
It's the world premiere of Bill DeMond in the Royal Rumble.
Jesus, I hope it's gonna be the last two. Oh.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Dun, 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 dun. Tommy Dreamer is the next one in. He's coming out, and he is bringing some plunder, if you will, gentlemen. Some plunder. Between him and Edge, they kendo stick Bill DeMott out of his misery in the Royal Rumble match.
And I don't know if you guys noticed right there, Bill DeMott actually almost got his hand caught in the ropes. And it could have been a really bad situation for Bill DeMond.
Like in the back, he just jumped over and eliminated himself. But his hand, I totally understand it. Yep,
it looked bad.
I have on here, Dreamer looks like he found all the booger sugar on the way out. He looked.
he was ready to go.
There you go. I was going to say excited, but you stole the words out of my mouth. Right? He was ready to go. He was ready to go.
And then in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's B2. I can't even remember his entrance. I made up some rhythm. Here are my notes. Eliminated by Edge. Okay.
Gone.
Do you guys want to fill in the next minute 30? All I have is B2, eliminated by Edge.
Thanks for coming.
The only thing I could remember about B2 was his pairing with John Cena.
Correct.
It was basically his heavy. John Cena's heavy. And it was just unbearable. It was bad. That's all I can think of. It was bad.
Let's get this B2 out of our systems. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
One of a kind. Da-da-da-da. One of a kind.
Well, I stand there looking right.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. That's it. Rob Van Dam, the whole effing show. He just comes out and goes, yeah. He does a Rolling Thunder on, I think it's Jericho. Yeah, and actually, this one I did write down. Jericho was the only person in the ring when RVD came out.
You're absolutely right, because Y2J took a couple kendo sticks to the forehead. And so when RVD comes out, Y2J legit looks like a unicorn.
He does.
He's got like a horn protruding from between his eyes, busted open from the we did a I also had on here, after Chris Nowinski was eliminated, the King made a brain cell joke. That didn't age too well.
That did not age well at all.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh, yeah! I can slam a tornado!
Yeah,
I know that Matt
I wish
Hardy
you never got rid of it.
Dislikes mustard.
He does.
He does.
He does. It says it right on his name key when he comes in. He's coming in with Shannon Moore, who is not in the Rumble match. noted here.
I know this was your guy. But I did a little digging on Matt Hardy's Matt facts. So I wrote a couple Matt facts down. I don't know if you guys want to hear them. I just got kind of excited.
Yeah.
I got kind of excited to see that. Matt Hardy is a great juggler. I didn't know that. Matt is his father's favorite child. Okay, I guess he didn't like Jeff Hardy. Matt loves eggnog. But hates fruitcake. I don't know. Matt Hardy knows how to solve a Rubik's Cube. I don't. So, I mean, that's a good thing.
Oh, my God. I wish he'd bring this back.
Matt Hardy has a heated toilet seat. We probably all do by now. But last but not least that I have wrote down here, Matt likes pulp in his orange juice. I mean, I was super excited when I saw this version of Matt Hardy come out next to the broken Matt Hardy. I think this is probably my second favorite Matt Hardy.
I can agree with that. This was a fun version of Matt Hardy for sure. I just love his music coming out. I can slam a tornado.
And like I said, I didn't mean to steal your thunder, CZ. I'm very sorry. But
I just got
really, really excited.
Yeah, and Matt comes out. He starts off double teaming on RVD with Mr. Chris Jericho. He gets into it with Jeff Hardy. We're not there yet. But what I have noted, the fun part that I have noted, is Shannon Moore helps prevent an elimination and then tries to block a swanton.
I wrote that down too.
We'll talk a little more about that. But Matt Hardy's in the ring. We're going to come into number 14 in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Latino heat! Latino heat! Eddie Guerrero! Eddie, he is here. Latino Heat. He goes to work on RVD. Then Matt Hardy, version one. I got on here. Eddie sells a monkey flip like he fell out of a tree. He got himself into a monkey flip. He gets into it with Y2J. More interaction with Matt Hardy. This was Eddie Guerrero with a buzz cut. I mean, this was before he started growing the hair back out. Had the shorter hair here. It was good to see Eddie about a year away from winning the world or from winning the WWE title, kind of like Jericho, a year before he really took off. And cool to see him here in the Rumble. We are at entrant number 15. We're halfway through here, folks. I don't know. You guys got a bedtime tonight?
No.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The only thing I can think of with this Jeff Hardy is the fingers. I don't know the, you know.
I knew what you meant. I knew what you meant.
That's it. I knew the fingers. That's all you know you use. But Jeff Hardy comes out. He looks like he has just gotten into a bloodbath from the Brood. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is with his makeup tonight. His paint or whatever you call it, makeup, paint. I don't know. But this is where actually you were talking about Shannon Moore used his feet to keep Matt Hardy in. He actually got thrown out, and Shannon Moore put his feet up to keep Matt Hardy from getting eliminated, which was perfect. It was beautiful. It was graceful. It was excellent.
And what are your partners for if not putting their feet up to prevent you from getting eliminated?
Exactly.
I love, you know, Jeff comes in. Shannon Moore, like I said, comes in to block to try and prevent Jeff Hardy from swantoning his brother. And Jeff just hits them both.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. That didn't look like it felt too good. But I like the spot.
Yeah, it was a great spot. I wouldn't want to take it, but...
Yeah, Jeff Hardy's makeup was a mess. But then again, we don't know what was going on with Jeff Hardy at this point in his WWE career. I guess we could look up and see if he was in the good or in the bad. But Hardy is in the Rumble. Entrance 16 right around the corner. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I'm willing to fight for this. I'm willing to fight. That's all I got. So, that's it. I went, this is their entrance theme for 3 minute warning during the Rumble. If you go onto YouTube and try and research this, they have a completely different entrance theme. I could not find this one anywhere to get the full version to do more. I don't know what's going on, but we've got CZ.
That's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, you're correct. We've got Rosie, refresh my memory, gentlemen. Was this a Rosie before teaming with Hurricane Helms or after?
Before.
Yeah, okay. This was before, yeah.
So he comes out, he's part of a three-minute warning. Yep. And, you know, honestly, he gets lost in the crowd. Just like Chavo, he doesn't have much to contribute to this match. And, you know, that I hate to say it. I would like to have more to talk about because Rosie is fun, especially when you get later on with the gimmick we were just talking about. But that's going to take us into entrance number 17 here.
Who was the manager? I totally forget. Who was the manager that was 3 minute warning manager?
Rico.
Rico. Yep. Thank Rico. You. Yes, I knew it was one name. I couldn't Rico, think of who it was.
Okay. Billy and Chuck fame.
Yes. 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 Thank you. Okay. Okay. And go on. I'm sorry.
Our number 17 entrant is coming to the ring in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Test. Test. This is a test.
It's Test. But more importantly, it's Stacy Keibler. Holy crap.
Hello.
Wrestling fans. The hottest woman to ever be in wrestling, bar none, bar none. Look at her face. She's not fake. Anyways, testicle, let's freaking go. I'm a testicle, self-admitted. Test comes in, and he's kicking ass, man. He is taking out everyone. Most importantly, notably, he takes out Rikishi right away. Test had a really good showing. I'll comment on when he gets eliminated later. I thought a missed opportunity by WWE, but Test comes out over with the crowd, obviously, because he's got the hottest woman in the building. But Test here with the buzz cut, going around kicking everybody's ass. I'm a Test Mark if you listen to the show, so it just turned out to be fate that I got to do Test.
No, that's very true. I know you're a big Test fan, and it worked out perfectly for you to draw the numbers you did to bring him into the ring. He was number 17, number 18 coming down in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
John Cena. This version of John Cena, you really can't. But this word is life. Not the John Cena.
This is basic thugonomics. Word life.
The one thing I noticed about John Cena, John Cena was wearing pants. He wasn't wearing jorts. He was wearing pants. I know I messaged CZ about this, and Nick, you also. This and he did a 90-second long rap, and the one thing I wrote down was the very last thing he said. It was a swollen phallic member. 2003, they got away with this. Mind you, this is the Attitude Era. It's just, wow. Yeah.
You got the phallic joke in there, and he got to the show on time after he got off his shift at Machine Shed.
Yeah.
With the rolled up jeans.
Yeah.
God, see that.
Yeah, the rhyme kind of lost me. He's got a gift, but I would have rather had it be the word life, him rapping that. It was a complete ad-lib rap that I can't remember any part of it. But, 90 seconds of gibberish.
Yeah, completely. So that, again, I've asked this question before, but just to you, Nick. So, well, I'll pose it to Stripes. Who wins in a rap battle between John Cena and Max Caster?
Oh, wow. Cena in his heyday, but Max Caster if you do it right now.
That's fair. That's very fair.
Cena did legitimately put out how many albums? He's got an album.
I know he's got at least the one. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I'm lost. We're off the rails. This is a lot.
So we're going to 19.
19. Yes. Just got in the ring. Yep.
All right. Count me down, Nick.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Da 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 da. You suck.
Bah, bah.
You suck.
Bah, bah. Bah, bah.
Part of the trio known as Team Angle. Here comes Charlie Haas. And Charlie does some stuff. He gets an elimination to someone who's not in the – a couple people who aren't in the ring yet. But one half of Team Angle is coming in at number 19. His partner will be along shortly after this.
Yeah, fairly soon.
Fairly soon. But that takes us to number 20. We are 2/3 of the way into the Rumble here. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's Rikishi. Did that sound anything like it?
No, I thought it was Tajiri. I thought it was Tajiri.
Oh my god! Rikishi here. He is making his 8th Rumble appearance, more than any other superstar. He gets in the ass, and it's a family affair as he goes right after Rosie after a great bear down.
Wait. Hold on. Did you say he gets in the ass?
Oh,
are you thinking about his big old booty?
I said he gets in and kicks ass. I don't know where your mind is.
Okay, I know his finishing move. I know Rikishi all very well. I just wanted to make sure I heard things right.
You heard things right. He gets in and kicks ass. There we go.
Definitely does.
After having his moment with Rosie, 5, 4, 3. 2, 1.
3-minute warning. We don't know the music. What was it again, CZ?
Let me go back.
I don't know.
I'm willing to fight for this.
There we go.
I'm willing to fight.
This one comes out. It's Jamal from 3-minute warning. Now, it's going to be very sad for me to say this, but I was today years old. I didn't know Jamal was Umaga.
Oh, really?
So when I watched this for the last time, I was watching it with my kids, and we were talking about how many wrestlers were still with us and still without us, you know, 20 years later. And I looked up Jamal, and I was like, wait a minute. He was Umaga?
Hold the phone.
I knew he was a part of the Anuai family, but I didn't know, like I said, I didn't know he was Umaga. That was new to me.
You know, you bringing up Umaga, it makes me think, I believe it was William Regal. I can never hear Umaga's name without Umaga. Hearing William. Umaga!
Umaga! Is it like Jumanji?
Yeah, I don't know. Umaga. It could be.
That's it. We need to, at the end of the year, we need to yell Umaga, and the WWE will get better. Vince will be completely gone, and it'll start over.
I Umaga. Like it.
Umaga. I like it.
Umaga.
Well, Jamal gets in and starts kicking Rikishi's ass.
And he had Rico whispering in his ear before he got in the ring, you know, go to town, take out everybody.
Yeah, again, like you said before, it was a family affair. It was Rikishi, Jamal, and I believe Rosie was still in it too.
Yeah. Rosie hasn't been eliminated yet.
We had the three family members. He is about to get eliminated.
He's almost there. Count me down, Nick. It's time for number 22.
I can't wait for this one. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Bon, na 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 na. It's Kane.
That's gotta be Kane.
That's gotta be Kane.
All the big red machine.
Oh my! Kane comes in and he just goes after everyone and takes out Rosie in this tirade here. A couple of other people he eliminates that aren't in the Rumble yet. We'll get there, but ends up being in the final four. You know, we'll get down to the final four here in a little bit. I've got notes, but I don't want to talk about that until we get to that
right.
point. Excuse me, gentlemen. I had to cough there. Hit the cough button. Number 23 is coming at you in 3, 2, 1.
Bum 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 bum. You suck. It's Shelton Benjamin working double duty. Just got off the set of American Gladiator, and here he is trying to punch his ticket to WrestleMania. Gets in with his tag team partner Charlie Haas. Double team Cena and tries to go after Kane with a little bit of help from his partner, Charlie Haas. I got more notes later, but they involve members who have not come into the match yet. So we have Team Angle fully in the match as number 24 is coming down in 3, 2, 1.
Angle, are you suck? You suck. That's right. Another member of Team Angle, Shelton Benjamin, comes out. I still can't get over the original Kurt Angle song when it, you know, Angle. I didn't like the.
What did I do wrong? What did I do wrong?
Oh.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, hold on. I went back one. I'm sorry. Hold on. Sucker! There we go. That's it. That you didn't do anything wrong. Yes. No.
Tell me, you did not just say that.
Tell me, he did not just forget about Booker T. Yeah, yes, Booker. I'm sorry. I forgot about you. I can't. I don't know why I forgot about Booker. I'm sorry, guys.
That's okay. Booker comes in and he does a Rumble spin-a-rooney for us, which always entertains the crowd. Awesome. And then, you know, we go on. Booker comes in. We get to entrant number 25. Nick, give me the countdown.
three, two, one.
Ding, 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 ding. Here comes the A-Train. He comes in, he cleans house for a minute, but he can't get any eliminations.
The world's hairiest wrestler ever. That's the only thing I wrote.
Are we talking about the hip hop hippo?
We certainly are.
He is. He is the hip hop hippo.
The hip hop hippo.
You nailed that music, by the way, CZ.
Thank you very much. I have some other things in my notes with A-Train, but it involves people who haven't hit the match yet. Right around this time, and I may be a little early here, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, HBK, who got eliminated early on, starts running down to the ring to take out Jericho. They brawl outside the ring, and it ultimately, they brawl inside, they brawl outside. It leads to Jericho's eventual elimination, and the brawl continues after that.
And before the title match is even set, you pretty much have your first match for Mania. I mean, Jericho Michaels, right? That kind of shows you where they're going for Mania, right?
Pretty much have your first match for 19th.
Yep.
So that takes us to entrance number 26. Three, two, one.
That was the opening riff. I don't know the word. It's Maven. I know. Who?
Maven.
Well, as Maven runs to the ring, they're quick to remind you, he eliminated The Undertaker last year. So,
and JR's quote, right when he comes down, he goes, "That's it. I'm not picking him. He's not winning." Even JR knows that Maven will not win.
That's right. Maven, everybody in the world is waiting for the injustice to get rewritten. 26 is Maven. He gets in the ring, and he goes one-on-one with Kane. And in doing so, we come up to number 27 at 3, 2, 1.
Gold dust. I can't think of the song. You guys kind of... Yeah, there we go. I just did my gold dust impression.
Gold dust.
And Gold Dust comes in the ring, and he the thing I wrote down is Gold Dust does the Golden Globes to Maven. He sets him up in the corners. Before that happens, something else happens, but yeah. Go on. I'm sorry. I'm a little ahead of myself.
Poor Maven got bald. Poor Maven got bald by the Taker. 28. We're down to three entrants left. 3, 2, 1.
I'm sick of all these people talking out their heads. Batista the Animal making his way into the Rumble. This is his Royal Rumble debut.
It is his debut.
That's what I wrote down also.
He sends Test to the showers. When Test tries to take him out with a big boot, again, Batista is one of the final four of the Rumble, which, let's talk about that. How big is it for Batista, who's making his Royal Rumble debut, to be one of the final four participants?
Yeah, I mean, huge. Go ahead. Huge. Yep. He has a good number. I mean, number 28 is very good. Good chances for him to, you know, stay in the final four.
That's very true. Vince obviously saw a lot in him to have him that stay in the Rumble to be one of those final four competitors. And, you know, this is the start of his big career. He had a lot of big success in the WWE. And this is just the beginning, obviously, of where that's going to go.
Yeah, I have on my notes here, I thought a Batista Test feud would have been great following that elimination. I don't know if it just didn't shake out after that, but I thought those two could have worked well together. You're right. This is 2.5 years before Batista is headlining WrestleMania. So, yeah, him in this spot here, I thought he looked good in the Rumble. I forgot what Batista looked like when he started out.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, when he started out, he was in a black shirt with a collar. He was Deacon Batista, which we can forget about that forever.
Yeah, I know. Everybody's got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah. Everybody's got to start somewhere. I mean, Kane was an evil dentist for a while. Let's just throw that out there.
Yes, let's yeah. Evil dentist.
So that brings us to entrant number 29 in 3, 2, 1.
Brrr. Boom. Bum 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 bum. It's Brock Lesnar. He punched his ticket in match number one of the night. Here he is, number 29, about as fresh as you can be after wrestling in the first match of the night. And he comes in and cleans house, as they say.
They actually have him down here eliminating. I lost it. He eliminated 4 people. That's very low number, but he did. He just cleaned house.
For drawing 29 and eliminating 4. Yeah, he made a great job of the time that he was in there. Team Angle tries to eliminate him. But
to no avail.
Angle's not having it as he eliminates both members of Team Angle. He then gives the F5 to Matt Hardy version one. He's eliminated. So there's 3 of the 4 eliminations.
Yep.
Something tells me that 4th elimination could be the last entrant. Our last entrant here, the 2003 Royal Rumble in 3, 2, 1.
Dead Man Walking. Doom.
You're going down.
I told you guys earlier tonight, I am going to tell you my complete disdain for this Undertaker. This was the worst Undertaker I have ever seen. I hate the biker taker. I don't know. This gimmick was just for Undertaker, it was bad. I mean, okay, I understand the Undertaker is, you know, a demonic gimmick, you know, that's fake. But the biker taker, I don't even know where to start.
Well, Stripes, you obviously didn't see that. Did he have like a red devil on him painted on, like, on his shirt or anything?
He did, yes. Yes, he did. God,
you're right. This is so lame.
Bad. Oh. It was bad.
Made even worse by JR occasionally referring to him as Booger Red. Yes. I can't make that up.
He did. And I don't know where it came from. Yeah.
I don't either. More eliminations are going on, but what it comes down to is Taker and Brock Lesnar kind of maybe, you know, the changing of the guard, a little rub here as Lesnar outsmarts the veteran and is kind of able to catch him off guard and throw him over. Taker knows that he had just gotten, and Brock Lesnar punches his ticket to
WrestleMania
at Safeco Field in Seattle.
Which we will cover now when we get closer to that time. I'm excited. This was a fun Rumble. The stage is set as far as the road to WrestleMania goes. I'm anxious to get to WrestleMania. This is one of my all-time favorites. If for nothing else, the Jericho Shawn Michaels match. But there is so much more on that show to talk about. We've got another stop before we hit WrestleMania. But, gentlemen, this puts a bow on the Royal Rumble 2003. Let's talk a little bit. What are we going to talk? What are we doing next week, Nick?
Well, next week we are talking to one half of the SCW Pro Tag Team Champions, Nico Klein. Nico's going to be here in the studio to obviously talk all things wrestling. We'll talk about his tag reign. Most importantly, we're going to talk about him and what he loves about wrestling. After that, hey, we're just under 2 weeks away from the Royal Rumble 2023. I don't know if we'll sing the entrances for those, but I'm sure we'll come up with something good and dandy for that. And just to show you, 3 weeks out, we got another interview with SCW Pro Hall of Famer and the current Iowa champion, the Shook, Shane Hollister. So we've got some action-packed weeks coming up here. Couple interviews for you. Don't want to keep it stale with the reviews, but I'm telling you what, this Rumble is the first Rumble I've looked forward to in quite some time.
I am super excited. The Royal Rumble this year is going to be phenomenal. Can't wait to see who comes back. Lot coming up, two interviews, the big Royal Rumble match, a lot of more surprises coming down the road. Let's go down the line here. Stripes, where can we find you on social media, my friend?
You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. And again, this is bad. I didn't even get my names again. So you can just look me up. Find me on the Card Subject and Change podcast, Facebook page. I'll be there. Find me on Facebook, Twitter. I'll be there.
Honorable One, tell us your social media tags.
Nick Bull, Facebook, Bully55 IG, and at Nick Bull55 on Twitter. Please let us know what you think. Hey, if you don't like us, let us know. We'd love to hear it. Follow, subscribe, leave a review, spread the word. We love wrestling. We hope you do too. If you're listening to us, looking forward to next week talking to tag team champion of SCW Pro, co-title holder Nico Klein.
I'm looking forward to that as well. Four Stripes for the Honorable One. I am the Wizard CZ, which you can find me at the Wizard CZ on Instagram and Twitter. Chris Zach on Facebook. You can find the podcast, CSTC Podcast, on Instagram, Twitter, pretty much everywhere across the board, except for Facebook. Look for Card Subject to Change. We will see you next week right here on Card Subject to Change, part of the Four Frequency Safe Podcast Network.